Hello and welcome to the Perfect Formula, brought to you by the VT Sport Network. Today we're going to be covering two races. We're going to be covering the French Grand Prix and also the Austrian Grand Prix. So the French Grand Prix wasn't all that interesting, so we'll be interspersing it within the Austrian Grand Prix discussion.
Is that why we didn't bother doing a podcast for it?
Yeah. Other than that, I know I'm too lazy.
All our French fans must be really disappointed. I don't know how many listeners we get from
Yeah,
France.
It was their first Grand Prix for God knows how long, and yeah, we couldn't bother to do a podcast for it by itself. Soz. If we start with this, if you look at both the French Grand Prix and the Austrian Grand Prix together, they do seem to be a tale of two halves, really. I mean, you've got, obviously, Hamilton's roaring success with the French Grand Prix, and then, well, an abysmal load of bad luck with the Austrian Grand Prix. I mean, the Mercedes team failed with their strategy and its engine conked out, so it's not really a brilliant performance.
Going into that race, the recent race, the Austrian Grand Prix, you expected a Mercedes 1-2, you know, whether Hamilton was first or second. That appeared to be the most very highly likely outcome, and you wouldn't have given any other driver a chance of winning it. You were expecting the 1-2 and Hamilton to extend his lead in the championship,
I mean,
and he didn't.
Until that virtual safety car, other than Bottas, obviously, it seemed to be the case that Hamilton was going to lead this race and it was going to be dominated by him once again. Understandably, he was quite irate with his team, with the fact that they didn't pit him during the virtual safety car. Considering the fact that he lost, you know, three places for that and it got Vettel incredibly close to him, you can see why he would be irate from that.
Yeah, but I think this is the thing which I've alluded to in previous podcasts. Hamilton is very, if something doesn't go right for him, he was so angry with his team for screwing up his strategy, and he can't bounce back from it. And I think he's proved it time and time again. And I think, you know, the fact that James Vowell, the guy who was the main strategist and not his engineer, came on and tried to almost say it's my fault, really trying to almost reassure him.
You can see, you know, I personally would be rather irate about that, because this isn't the first time they've done it. That's the difference.
Yeah.
You can understand if someone's taking it calmly the first time they do it, but the second time they do it in a season when you're racing for the championship, you are going to lose it a bit. And I don't think it's fair to say that when we don't have any other, you know, race driver having experienced the same thing, where they twice in a season they miss out on, you know, podium place because their team makes a lousy decision.
I think most of the top drivers react better than him. React better than Hamilton.
Oh really?
I think,
you know, Vettel goes and slams his car into Hamilton's.
That wasn't because of a strategy.
No, but that was because he lost his temper.
Okay.
Behind the steering wheel. I don't think you can say that when you lord Vettel over everyone else, and yet he does that, which is incredibly childish, incredibly immature, and was a spate of anger and rage. And then you go and say, well, Hamilton was a bit pissed off because his team made the same mistake twice in a row.
Okay, I'm sure we'll discuss Vettel later in the show, so I don't want to use my usual lording over Vettel, because I think he's the greatest racing driver of all time, but that's another story. No, with Hamilton, I think he's got to put that to one side in the heat of the race. His concern can't be having a go at the team and wondering why the team fucked up in the middle of the race. After the race, fine, ask all the questions, you know, go to the media and
he
say...
He decided to do that in the end. I mean,
in the end,
he decided to do that after he pointed out the fact that he was not going to be able to make it on those tyres. It was blatantly clear to him. His tyres were shot, and he wasn't going to make it with those tyres, and therefore he needed to pit as soon as possible. And, you know, he got to a point where he decided, you know, stuff it, I'm not going to speak to you about this, because I can't, I've got to focus on trying to get this, you know, trying to catch up to Raikkonen. And, you know, you can see to frustration. I think you find it with Verstappen. I think you'd find it with Raikkonen. Raikkonen would be there saying choice words to his team, and you'd find it hilarious. So I don't think you can say no other driver would act like that, because there's a level of you've got to listen to what Alonso was saying to his team for the past two races.
Yeah, I'm not saying no other driver would react like him, but I'm saying that Hamilton needs to detach himself emotionally from the situation and think, right, my team have cocked up, but
you don't expect other drivers to do that.
No, I don't, and I think other drivers would. Okay, put it this way: I think other drivers would bounce back and react quicker than Hamilton would to it. I think Hamilton spends too long, and this isn't like it's an isolated incident. I think on several occasions where a team has made a strategy mistake, or I don't know, a penalty doesn't go his way or something, he then gets into that negative state and really struggles.
I haven't seen much of that this season. I'm being honest here. He was very noticeable for it when he was younger.
Mm.
But this season, I haven't seen much of it. I've seen it today, but at the same time, it was an incredibly frustrating situation that any other driver would get round up about. You would have Raikkonen down the radio swearing at his team, saying, what's happened? Why have you done this? This is a mess.
I think you can swear now. We've said a few other bad words already.
But you would have Raikkonen doing that. You'd have Vettel, saying, what's going on? Why has this happened? And I don't think you can criticise him for that. Because, let's face it, the first time that happened, back in China, he didn't have that reaction. But this second time it's happened this season, and it's important, it's no wonder he got wound up and he focused on it, because at the end of the day, that could be his championship going down the drain. At the end of the day, what didn't matter much because his engine messed up. But, if that happens twice in a season, you're going to be demanding answers, and you're not going to be able to stop and think and say, well, I need to ask these questions later. To begin with, you're going to be wanting those answers straight away. And to be perfectly honest, I think his anger lasted about 10 minutes. It wasn't very long, but in terms of laps, it was a long period of time. But you would expect someone to be pissed off for 10 minutes, normally.
But didn't the if I remember rightly, the Vettel overtake, or he got, I think it was the Vettel overtake, but he was overtaken whilst he was having a go at his team.
No, he was overtaken because his speed significantly decreased. Which seemed to, because he was complaining that the car didn't feel like it had enough speed behind it to begin with, and it did seem like he started getting a red flashing light at the end of his car, which suggested that the engine was not storing energy as well as it should have, and therefore I think Vettel's overtake was purely to do with Hamilton didn't have the speed. I mean, Vettel managed to get a distance between him and Hamilton, I think a lap after he overtook Hamilton, to the point of 1.2 seconds, if not more. That's significant for a Ferrari against a Mercedes. And that's not due to him having a go at his team. That is due to his engine giving up.
Okay. Can I lord over Vettel now?
Yeah.
Vettel had a bit of a mixed race, but, well, he obviously started sixth, and to get on the podium is a decent result and ahead of his rival, which is key. But that overtake on Hamilton was a, I thought, an outstanding piece of race class. First, Hamilton tries to force him off the track. Well, not force him off the track. Hang on, no, sorry, let me rephrase. Hamilton is very robust in his defence initially, and then Vettel cuts across and is very robust. It's very hard racing, both of them.
Yeah.
But the net result, it's an excellent overtake, and surely you can't deny that.
I can, on the grounds that he was competing with a car that was significantly slower than his.
Okay, but
you're going to say that if Vettel overtakes Stroll, that's an amazing overtake. Stroll had a bit of defence, and then Vettel overtook him. No, it's the same sort of level. Hamilton lost so much power in that track, in that lap, that it's essentially a Ferrari taking over a Williams.
I don't think it was that significant.
No, it was.
He lost a little bit, but I don't think...
lose 1.2 seconds around about in a lap, that's... I'm sorry, but if Vettel was overtaken by Hamilton when he was limping on an engine that was about to die, you'd say, it wasn't a very good overtake, no matter what the manoeuvre was, because Vettel's engine was dying.
I give Hamilton credit when
you wouldn't. You don't give him any credit at all, no matter what.
I think in the French Grand Prix, he drove a superb... he got a superb pole and got a straight victory. He did a great job there, controlled the race, and, you know, I will give him credit when credit's due, but I also give Vettel credit when credit's due. I don't know if anyone's picked up on that.
I would say that his previous overtakes, Vettel's previous overtakes, lower down the line when he was catching his positions back, were better overtakes, to be perfectly honest. Because he was competing against cars that were at their maximum, and their drivers were also, you know, able to use their car's full capabilities to defend against him. If you've got an engine that's running at, you know, at only a part of its power, you're not going to be able to defend as well as you could do, because part of you is going to be wondering, how the fuck do I get more power out of this engine? You know, part of him might have even been trying to fiddle with the buttons to make the engine work, because if you've got an engine that's only working to a certain extent, you are going to be trying to fix it whilst you're driving.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can say Vettel's overtake was a good overtake, because at the end of the day, he was overtaking a car that wasn't performing.
Oh, well, we've got our poll for the next podcast, I suppose. Was Vettel's overtake a spectacular piece of racecraft, or was it just a simple overtake, not a particularly great overtake? I guess we can announce the winners on the, after the British Grand Prix next week.
Talking about Vettel, he had a good race today. Last time in France, he had a pretty bad race. And not necessarily a bad race because he was unlucky, a bad race because he took bad decisions. I mean, he had a bad... He had a few incidents where he was trying to overtake drivers, and he made mistakes, or he made a misjudgment, and therefore it cost him places, it cost him time, it cost him a penalty.
To say my bad decisions is incorrect for me, I think, because that suggests that he did several things wrong. He made one mistake in the opening lap. I thought he was a bit unlucky because his tyre locked up in the French Grand Prix. He did deserve a 5-second penalty. He deserved the penalty. Himself and Bottas were at the back of the grid, and I wouldn't argue with that. But from that moment, from when he pitted, he won driver of the day that day. He was voted driver of the day.
He dropped down again after a few laps because he had another incident with another driver. It was a minor incident.
You're talking about Austria?
No.
France?
No, in France. He and another driver came off slightly.
Well, yeah, but he's coming back onto the grid, and it's just the first lap. He had to pit immediately, his first lap. It was just one of them. He had a bad first lap and ended up at the back of the grid.
No, I'm talking about when he was moving up the track again, he had another minor incident with another car. It was minor, literally minor. But
okay, then if it's literally minor, why are you bothering bringing it up?
It cost him time, and
I think you know, you can call me lording over Vettel all you like, but I think to go from last on, well, from being last and quite a way back on the first lap and finishing fifth, there's not much more than that he can do.
I'm not saying that, well, other than in fact he could have got higher up, but oh, come on, he could have at least competed with Raikkonen and Verstappen.
They're gone.
They weren't actually in the end. That's the thing.
Well, they were, because he was on tyres that were shot to pieces after 40-odd laps or whatever it was, and he didn't have the pace to compete with the likes of Raikkonen and Verstappen.
Okay. right, then. But either way, you know, I wouldn't say that his last race was bad because of bad luck. I would say that his last race was bad because he made a bad decision. And as such, I feel sorry for Bottas.
I like that you've changed it from decisions to decision. I'm pleased with that. But yeah, okay. Just to move on. Yeah, Bottas, he was very, you know, he was unfortunate in the French race. He you know, completely out of his control, and then. Yeah, and then you look at his race today in Austria, and
Lost pressure in his gearbox.
Yeah, and it's just one of them, isn't it? He's been unfortunate. He could be, Vettel and Hamilton are basically level on points. I think there's 1 point between them, and Bottas could be in a similar.
Ahead, actually, to be perfectly honest, with the amount of races he could have won, if he hadn't, blown a tyre or lost power or he got crashed into, the amount of races that he could have been, first in. Considering I don't particularly rate him as a driver, I do think he's really missing out. I mean, if he was a pirate, I'd think he'd have got the black mark on him. But
I think, last season questions were asked, and at the start of this season questions were continued, and I think that was reasonable. Yeah. But he has been very consistent, particularly in qualifying. He's got a fair few poles recently,
yeah.
And he's driven well, and he should be in that title battle, and it's disappointing he's not. I'm sure that'll stand him in good stead though for his new contract.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he'll get his contract sorted out soon. They said they're going to sort it over summer, I believe.
Yeah.
And let's hope next season he's got more luck, to be perfectly honest with you. It'll be interesting to see another Mercedes battle for champion.
You want to see a repeat of the Rosberg Hamilton?
Oh yeah. But maybe a bit more friendly. They seem to be a bit more friendly with each other, even when they're battling it out.
That's boring.
There seems
Why
to
do
be
you want friends?
A bit of camaraderie between Hamilton and Bottas, which I think shows Hamilton's maturity, actually.
But that's boring. Why do you want them to be friendly? It's like Hamilton's.
Well, no, they can fight on the track, but they'll be friendly once they come off, rather than this constant bitch fighting off the track as well.
But that's what everyone wants to see. It's like Hamilton defended Vettel to the media. We don't want to see that. We want to see Hamilton digging the knife in and saying that Vettel's a twat or something. That's what we want to see.
I think it's good for the sport, for Vettel, Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen, Ricciardo, Raikkonen, to show maturity.
I think
at the end of the day. You're trying to encourage new blood into the sport. And the way you do that is by, they have to start young. They have to start on go-karting. And as such, you want to make it so that parents see it as a constructive environment. If you've got the lead competitors in that sport bitch-slapping each other verbally every weekend or every other weekend, then it's not going to be seen as a good sport to build character and everything for parents. I mean, it's an expensive sport to get your kid into, to be perfectly honest. And so you've got to be encouraging parents to bring their child into it. And I think if you're having the lead competitors of that sport acting like 15-year-olds over a girl, then that's not positive at all.
I think, from a parent's point of view, yeah, no argument. But to your average fan, I think they want to see a massive rivalry between the two. Bigger. You know, you look at other sports, you look at the Ronaldo and Messi in football, for example. Everyone wants, whether true or not, everyone wants the image that those two despise each other and bitch at each other or whatever. You know, in any sport, I think you need that big rivalry. And I think, even if it is a bit overblown, I think...
You can be rivals without being enemies. That's the difference. I mean, I think it shows good sporting ability if you are able to be rivals on the track but friends off the track. Or at least civil acquaintances off the track. And I think this season has shown a growth in maturity from Vettel and Hamilton to a certain extent. And they seem to be more, well, they've both come out and sort of chastised Verstappen for his unruly behaviour at times, and they've supported each other in doing so. And I think it shows a good side to sport, because it shows a, union between the drivers, which is they want to be able to race as safely as possible without some upstart trying to crash into them and possibly trashing their very expensive cars.
But do you not think that F1 was very entertaining with the Rosberg and Hamilton, clearly despising each other and would stick the knife in as often as they could? I thought it was brilliant.
I wasn't as interested in the off-the-track interaction as the on-the-track interaction. Like, I like the fact that Verstappen and Ricciardo fight it out on the track, but they don't seem to try and trash-talk each other in the green room or anything.
No.
They might not talk to each other in the green room if something like that's happened, but
I get the sense that they that they don't like each other is my...
Well, they can not like each other, but at least they're not doing all this childish, oh, he says, she says.
Fucking sore loser six brings to mind for me with Ricardo when Verstappen.
Yeah, well, that was whilst he was in the car.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah, but he repeated it after, I remember the interview, because he said, I believe you called Verstappen a sore loser. He said, no, I called him a fucking sore loser.
Right. If I remember rightly, that was one where Verstappen crashed out.
Yeah, he crashed it into him.
Yeah, right. There's a difference with that, because, I'm sorry, at the end of the day, you are crashing into someone at high speed. Mm. You're going to be pissed off with them, no matter what.
Okay.
But if it's a general, you know, you're just fighting each other for a position, you're not going to say that sort of thing. Mm. I think, you know, Formula One is trying to grow. It's trying to grow its support base internationally. And throughout the demographics, it's trying to get, you know, young women involved. It's trying to get young boys involved. It's trying to get older people involved. It's trying to get the Americans involved, who are a completely different demographic altogether. and they're trying to make it more inclusive. And as such, I think the drivers need to be very aware, which, you know, of their public image and how they interact with each other outside of the track. Which, to a certain extent, actually brings me on to the French track. Formula One's trying to increase its popularity, so they've brought in the French track again. It has now... It's a very different track to the others, because, well, to be perfectly honest, it's quite pretty. It's got the different gradients, so it's got the blue gradients for a minor abrasive surface, and it's got the red gradient for a very abrasive surface. You know, you're essentially not going to get off the red gradient if you go onto it, and it's to try and stop you from crashing into the side at such speed.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, because F1, you know, historically had the gravel tracks, and there's been a debate for quite a long time with the old school gravel people, bloody hell. The old school people who prefer the idea of gravel, and if you make a mistake, you should be punished severely and be out the race. And then you've got the modernists who prefer the runoff areas and think that you shouldn't be punished so severely. I think it's a very good middle ground. I think we'll be seeing this at more circuits. I'll go with you. I'm not so sure about the aesthetically pleasing element, but if you think it looks pretty, then I'm not going to argue with that. We'll argue about other things.
To a certain extent, I believe also they've used it instead of the gravel, because the gravel always sort of tends to be on the track after someone's run off, and that's going to cause problems for other people driving. It's not just punishing the driver that's gone off the track, it's punishing other drivers as well. And this abrasive surface, it's stuck in place, so it's not going to be flying everywhere. It's not going to be hitting people in the visor. It altogether, it's a lot safer.
Yeah, very valid point. I'm not arguing
and
with that.
It does look aesthetically pleasing. If you saw it from the helicopter view, it was very pretty. And to an extent, my mother, who doesn't like Formula One, actually commented on it and ended up watching the race. So maybe it was due to that. Maybe she was just bored. But you know, it could be a way to bring in more people as well. You make things look nicer, and therefore more people are likely to watch it. It's a sad truth, but, you know, things that look pretty tend to get watched more than things that don't look quite so pretty.
So should we go back to the debate about grid girls? Or...
How about just have grid models? Therefore, it's unisex. You know, right. Have boys for the girls or the boys. I have girls for the girls or the boys, depending.
Yeah, all right. let's not have another debate about that. If you're really interested, there's the Monaco Grand Prix where we discuss that in detail.
Yeah. Okay, so another thing about the French and the Austrian Grand Prix, they're very different in another aspect, which is that we had a lot of retirements in both, to a certain extent. I think we had about 4 retirements in both of them. Now, with France, those retirements were generally due to incidents, accidents, cars crashing into each other or getting a part of it chopped off from it. Or, well, you know, Stroll's tyre exploded.
Yeah.
However, with Austria, I think pretty much all of the retirements were due to mechanical errors. Mm-hmm. Which is very different indeed. We had a McLaren go out. We had the two Mercedes, and we also had
Renault.
Hulkenberg. Yeah, Hulkenberg's Renault. He was doing quite well, actually, up until that point. Yeah. So it was quite interesting that we've got that comparison as well.
Yeah, I think with the the French Grand Prix, there was that racing incident which took a couple of cars out in the opening lap, and obviously Stroll's sort of free tyre blowout. But yeah, today's race, the Austrian race, I think the hot weather certainly played a part. It was an unnaturally hot day.
Track was hot rather than the air.
But all of Europe's hot. We're all basking in the sun at the moment. It's lovely. Or not so lovely, depending on your point of view. But anyway, that's another debate. But I think it was cars struggling with the heat, it was a very hot day, and I think the Mercedes is known for having issues with that. Having said that, it was two different issues.
They're both related to pressure, but I don't think you can blame the pressure incident on the weather. It's possibly due to the fact that we replaced the engines last race. They may have created a problem in that replacing of the engines, which only turned up after it being run for a continuous time a second time. It might be the pressure held up for the first race, but then the pressure couldn't hold up for the second. I imagine we're probably going to see brand new engines next race for them. They're going to be wanting Hamilton to try and get this British Grand Prix. So I don't think it was necessary to do with the hot weather. So other than the two Mercedes that went out, we also had, Renaults, we had McLarens, we also had a Toro Rosso. And as such, I think those probably were engine failures. I mean, the Toro Rosso is a Honda engine. We also had the Red Bull engine go out, and we also had two Renault engines go out, and I think the Renault engines both went out pretty similarly, smoke coming out the back end and everything, and I believe the Toro Rosso was similar as well. So that suggests to me that was due to heat, and I think it was actually mentioned that Ricciardo's was due to heat as well, that the liquid cooling the car got too hot and it just sparked, essentially. So those seem to be due to heat, but I don't think the Mercedes was due to the heat. I think Mercedes may have done something to the engine which has caused it to then lose pressure after a while. It's too close to having replaced the engine for it to be a coincidence, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm not arguing with that.
On a more positive note, we actually saw the first points for Grosjean.
What?
Grosjean did not break down, did not crash into a wall, did not crash into anyone else. So all in all, a good race for him, and as such, he has got some points.
Yeah, a fourth place. I'd say, to be fair to him, he's had a mixture. There's been a few stupid moments. I think crashing behind the safety car, most notably, is the one that slips out for me. But
then there's he's doing donuts in the middle of the track. That wasn't exactly the brightest move ever. But no, he has been unfortunate with engine problems as well. But it seems that everything worked out for him.
The thing, you look at the top three teams, the Red Bull, the Mercedes and the Ferrari. After that, Haas have debatably got the best car out there. Yeah. And I mean, Kevin Magnussen, his teammate, finished fifth behind him. But overall, in the
he's
championship
significantly
standards,
higher on the championship.
He's up there. He's doing all right, isn't he?
I think he's got a few points. He's probably closer to about 20-something.
37. Oh. He's seventh behind the top six.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But thanks to that, though, Haas are now way up in the constructors. They're up to fifth place.
I imagine Magnussen's eyeing up a higher level team as we speak, to a certain extent. Okay, so we've got a little debate. Going back to Vettel. Seems as he's your favourite driver. I'm going to ask you this question.
I didn't write the thing, by the way.
Yeah. So, Vettel's penalty in France for crashing into Bottas.
Yeah.
There's 5 seconds. Do you think that was severe enough?
Yes and no. In context of what options the stewards have available to them at this present moment, yes, it was the correct penalty. In terms of actual, is it right? Is it morally right, if you like? Possibly not, no. But in terms of the options the stewards have available to them, which is a 5-second, I think it's a 10-second, a 30-second, or a drive through, is it? Something like that. In any case, yeah, 5-second penalty or a drive through penalty or something like that. In terms of that, yeah, it's the right penalty.
So you're saying it shouldn't have been a 10-second penalty?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I think he wasn't trying to crash into Bottas, and it was just a very unlucky incident with his tyre locking up. I think in context of what the penalty options are, I think it was the correct penalty.
So what do you think this penalty should have been if they had more leeway?
If they had more leeway, well, you can't just make up penalties on the day.
No, but what do you think should have been an option?
Well, I don't know. This is interesting, whether they could introduce grid penalties for the subsequent race or... I don't know. It's a very difficult one because sometimes drivers get penalties which end up being meaningless. I recall Hamilton winning a race with a 10-second penalty hanging over him, and he still won the race. He just became aware of that and made sure he won by a set distance. I think these time penalties, I do think it's improved because historically the most lenient penalty the stewards had was a drive-through penalty. That was like the softest. Whereas now they've got this 5-second penalty or, you know, time penalties which are added to pit stops, which is a step in the right direction, but I do think more needs to be done. I'm not sure exactly what they should be.
Thing is I think if Bottas hadn't have managed to get his way back to the pit stop and get a new tyre in place, perhaps it would have been a more stronger penalty because it would have taken him out of the race completely.
I think it's more the fact that Vettel managed to get out. Could you imagine if Vettel just happily got along with his race? Bottas, say for argument's sake, Bottas was taken out in the same manner. Vettel continues the race in second. Vettel would have got a harsher penalty then.
Right. Because I don't think it had all that much impact on Vettel.
No, it didn't, no.
Yeah, but as such, I would have leant more towards the 10-second penalty because of how much impact it had on Bottas. I mean, his car floor was most likely damaged from what we saw.
But is it right to say a penalty is decided by the level of impact you have on another driver? Surely it should be the dangerousness or the recklessness or whatever of your driving, not... Because a driver can retire from a race because of an innocuous incident. A driver can continue with a race after a very dangerous incident.
On that same argument, you could then have, say, Hamilton and Vettel are, you know, very close points at the end of the season. They've got one last race. Vettel could easily take Hamilton out, get him out of the race completely, and then, you know, have a 5-second penalty and wins the race with that, wins the championship.
You don't remember.
Surely.
You don't remember Schumacher's tactics, do you? When there's the famous Schumacher incident in the 90s where he got stripped of his second place in the championship because he did the same thing, and that was quite blatant. But
surely, though, that's why you should have an impact penalty. You know, have a penalty which is based on the impact that you've had on another car.
But surely it's different having an impact on a direct title rival in the championship decider. And the
thing is that Bottas is a competitor for the championship.
Okay, so if Vettel crashes into, I don't know, Grosjean, takes Grosjean out of the race, he should get a more lenient penalty than, say, Bottas. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, to a certain extent, because you've got to try and make it so that it doesn't pay to knock out your rival.
I think drivers would lose too much respect. I think Schumacher lost so much respect for what he...
And yes, he managed to get it back. Yeah, he was still a highly respected driver.
Yeah, but that's because following that, he managed to win 6-7 world titles.
I don't think that Vettel cares all that much about the level of respect he gets from other people, considering how he reacted to Hamilton. By deliberately crashing into him. I would say that is the action of a man that doesn't really care what public opinion is.
Are we making the whole show about Vettel?
No. But, in fact, we might as well make the whole show about Verstappen. It seems like the whole of Austria, well, the whole of the Austrian Grand Prix, was about Verstappen. I mean, even before the race started, you had a whole stand dedicated to Verstappen wearing Dutch orange. And, you know, they had their own separate camp. They were underneath the bull, the charging bull of Red Bull. It did seem like the Austrian Grand Prix was almost like a home Grand Prix for Verstappen.
Well, there isn't a race in Holland.
Yeah, and it was on the Red Bull track. He had a Red Bull win. He was presented the trophy by a previous Red Bull driver, and he was also had his interview done by the first Red Bull driver. It was all a very Red Bull event, to be honest.
Of course it was. And yeah, you know, I've been critical of him in previous shows, but Verstappen had a very good race. Especially the first lap. You think back to that, him and Raikkonen and Bottas. It was a great battle. And Hamilton, I suppose. Hamilton came out in front, but Verstappen got to second place, which was critical because, you know, with Hamilton's woes, that's you know, that's by the by. But you know, he drove very well, a very controlled race, particularly when you consider towards the end how much his tyres were going off and the fact he had two Ferraris just down the road who ended up, three seconds behind him at the end. And
I mean, I would agree with Christian Horner, which this race showed his maturity, which the majority of other races haven't. It's possibly just because he was leading, therefore he was in quite a happy place. I mean, we see that with Hamilton. When he's leading, he's in quite a happy place and he's quite relaxed and, you know, he behaves well. Whether, you know, Verstappen's in the same sort of mindset, which is, you know, things don't go his way, he loses it a bit and crashes into people, then it might be. But, no, it showed maturity on this race.
Yeah, no, he did. He drove well and, can't really complain, really. Credit where credit's due.
On another note, Raikkonen has outperformed Vettel again, twice in a row.
I was very surprised because I thought I was expecting, and I think most people watching the race would have expected Raikkonen and Vettel to be switched for championship reasons, but they weren't. Raikkonen maintained his second place, and he got a podium in France as well. Two good races from Raikkonen. Particularly when you consider his start, he was very aggressive at the start. And, you know, another day, he'd have been leading the race at the end of the first lap. I thought he was particularly good there. I wouldn't say, well, outperforming, I'm not sure. I think, you know,
he's doing better on, you know, qualifying. He's also doing better generally. He seemed to have more speed than Vettel. Even on the final laps, he seemed to have more speed than Vettel.
No, because Vettel was like right behind. He was about a second behind, something like that.
He was 2 seconds behind.
Vettel maintained a gap of not very much. He was consistently just
behind. Yeah, but Raikkonen still hit out the fastest lap on the final lap.
Okay, fair enough. But I don't know. I would be careful to say he's outperformed. I think with the penalties, I think Vettel had a debatable penalty in qualifying. That's, you know, another debate. But Vettel did out qualify on time. He did out qualify Raikkonen.
Yeah, but when it comes down to, you know, like I said, he got the fastest lap on that final lap. You know, that says he was going faster than Vettel, and he was going faster than Vettel for quite a while in order to be able to do that. And as such, I would say that in this race, he has outperformed Vettel.
He had a very good race.
Whether he didn't give up his position just because, he doesn't have to follow team orders now. It's not like he's got his contract to worry about anymore.
No, it's surprising. You know, it's not something you expect from Ferrari as well. I do wonder why they didn't change them round. It's very curious.
On the note of Raikkonen not having a contract for next year. Last race in France, before the last race, Leclerc was asked rather awkwardly whether he thought he was doing better than Raikkonen this season, and he refused to answer and looked quite embarrassed about the question. Now, in this race, we've had it announced that he's got a verbal agreement with Ferrari that he will be racing for them next season. It's not signed yet. But considering how well Leclerc's been doing, you know, most likely will be. So that's quite interesting in itself, is the fact that, you know, that's quite interesting in itself that the Grapevine seems to get the information before even Ferrari's made their mind up. But it does look like Leclerc will be racing in red next season.
That's always been the way with F1, though. The media, there's spies everywhere in the media, and, you know, someone who works at Ferrari finds out, tells his mate who works for the, I don't know, the Sun or whoever, yeah. And then it just gets out. It's the way F1's been. It's always been open secrets, especially with the nature of contracts and, you know, with Ricciardo, I'm sure Ricciardo's future will be announced.
Soon,
but it'll be announced unofficially. Mm. There'll be some sort of media, you know, will announce it before Red Bull announce it. Yeah, you can bet that.
In regards to to drivers who may not be happy in their positions, Alonso has been increasingly sounding like he's disillusioned with his races recently. With France, he seemed to refer to the fact that it might be worthwhile saving tyres and pitting the car because they weren't going to get any points. And also, he seemed to have that same sort of thought process in Austria, where he insisted he wasn't going to sit in this place for 71 laps. He didn't, in the end. He did do quite well, but...
Yeah.
He wasn't happy at all with the performance of the car.
No, he finished 8th, which, you know, to get a McLaren in 8th is ridiculous. He drove very well.
I'd argue that's because the amount of cars that went out for engine failure.
Well, that was part of it, yeah. But you can only do what you can do. And to get a McLaren into points, you can't deny that's a great achievement. But, yeah, I can sort of sympathise with his position. What did he say at the start? He said something like, we need to come up with a different strategy or something, so I'm not sitting here in 19th for 71 laps. And, you know, who can blame him? I mean, you know, I think he was
a championship driver.
Well, he should be, you know, I would love to see him take Bottas' spot on Mercedes or be in a...
That would be hilarious, Hamilton and Alonso again.
But didn't you say before you don't think F1 should be about all these...
No, I don't think it should, but I imagine that the racing would be quite exciting.
Oh, okay, okay, all right. But no, I think, well, also you've got to consider Alonso went to Le Mans and won that. And, you know, Indianapolis he did last year. He didn't win that. His car his car broke down. But he was in
cursed.
But he was in the lead and he was in contention to win the race. You know, for him, I would be thinking, what's the point in me driving in F1 and, you know, getting 8th place seen as a massive achievement when I can go to do some other sort of motorsport series.
Yeah,
I'll get a lot of people follow me because he's got a huge social media following. I would be questioning what the point of him in F1 is.
Yeah, I mean, he's evidently still got the reactions and the ability to drive, you know, at the front of a race. He has just made a poor decision by going with McLaren. And McLaren's made exceedingly poor decisions with their engines and their chassis.
Makes you think of an alternate reality where Alonso didn't quit Ferrari and he's their lead driver instead of Vettel.
Anyway, it seems like the British Grand Prix may be quite exciting next weekend, because there are some slight rumours on the weather forecast that we may have thunderstorms next weekend, which would be amazing. So let's keep our fingers crossed for thunderstorms and lightning and everything like that, just to make the British Grand Prix just that little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I'll do my rain dance. Hamilton's won the last 4 in a row, hasn't he?
He tends to do quite well in the wet as well. Also, Alonso seems to be quite good at driving in the rain as well. I think it'll be interesting to see how Verstappen copes. I don't think he's got all that much experience in driving in rain. And if it is a thunderstorm, it is going to be heavy downpour rain.
Well, the race would be abandoned or red flagged.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, they didn't that Brazil race years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty much monsoon weather. I don't think they'll abandon the race. I don't think it'll be that heavy. But I think it will be enough to cause some standing water and... a bit of excitement, hopefully.
We're really getting people's hopes up here, saying it's going to absolutely lash
it
down.
No, the weather forecast is hinting at it. Obviously, it's British weather, so nothing's guaranteed. But, you know, We will hope it rains. Everyone that is going to be outside watching it at Silverstone is going to be hoping it's going to be a lovely sunny day. So, therefore, the majority of people will be hoping it's raining, so it's going to rain. Majority of people were hoping it's not going to rain. So, it's Britain, so it's probably going to rain.
Okay, I think I follow that. So, yeah, I guess we'll be back after the British Grand Prix. I look forward to the rain you promised, because as your weather forecast says. So, you know,
I'm not promising rain. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
All right, well, let's hope it's a big possibility. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's all for tonight. And we will be back with the British Grand Prix. That'll be next week.
Next week, yeah.
Yeah. Might be a few days delayed.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be high after that.
Brilliant.
What? I'm getting my foot cut open. I'm not exactly going to be in the position to be recording a podcast.
Outtake.
What?
We're releasing two shows this week, a joke show and a serious show.
We can do if you want.
Might end up being that. That's a lot of editing, though. Can I be asked?
I don't know. Funny you'll find it.
We've got to give the fans what they want. And they love me. And
or we could do a Twitter feed. Actually, yeah, no. Okay, so this podcast has been a long one. We've got a few outtakes. So we're going to put a poll on Twitter asking if you want to hear the outtakes or not. Please say yes, because it means he has to do more work.
You can edit that.
No.
Is that the end of the show?
Yeah.
We need to say bye then.
Okay, so that's all for tonight. So back next week. And that's it. So bye.
Farewell.
Goodbye, farewell. Okay. I think that was in Austria, so, you know, can do. What? It was.
You're not even plugging the Twitter. You need to follow. You need
okay,
to...
Okay, so that's all for tonight. We will be back next week after the British Grand Prix. If you are bored or interested in the meantime, you can always follow us on our Twitter handle, which is at the Perfect Formula. Well, at the Perfect Formula 1. And yeah, we may or may not tweet. Depends. You can do the
thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.
You need to say that. It sounds weird if I just cut it.
Okay. Thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.
The hills are alive.